You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
It's time for the music. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again. It's IRC FM.
Good day, Bruce. Welcome to IRC FM.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.
G'day, I'm IRC, and welcome to a very special episode of IRC FM. IRC FM usually comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week, but I'm making an exception today. I have a very special guest on the line, and all the way from jolly old England, on Skype, we have Mr. Rob Saunders, who is the man behind Juice Management and Promotion. Hello, Rob.
Hi there, how are you doing?
I'm doing super, mate. How's things in your neck of the world?
It's all very good, very blustery, but we're all getting by. It's good stuff.
Awesome. So before we talk a bit about Juice and also some of the artists that you've allowed me to play on IRC FM, there's been quite a few of them. What sort of music are you into?
Me personally, I like all styles of music, but I was quite into my rock music when I was a lot younger. I liked bands like Kiss and Motley Crue, Poison, all those types of bands. But then I went on to, when the 90s came along, it was the Britpop era, so I got into that style of music. And then more and more people that I was meeting was introducing me to all different music. So there's a variety of styles now that I like.
So have you been a member of a band yourself, or a roadie, or any other involvement beforehand?
I was a manager of a band. It was my brother-in-law's band, he wasn't my brother-in-law at the time, but he was in a band and asked me to go and see them, and I was quite pleasantly surprised at how good they were. So I offered to manage them. No experience at all in the music industry, but I just thought I'd give the management a go, and it just all started from there, basically.
So a lot of people are familiar with the band members, of course, and we hear the results of them each and every week here on IRC FM. But for those of my listeners who don't know, what would a music manager do?
I would say a music manager's role would be to get the music for his band or artists out to as many people as possible. There's all different roles that they play. Some people will say that it should be a promoter's part to get their music out, and others should say the managers should do the management and promotion, which is pretty much what I do, actually. So I would say, number one, get as many people as possible to hear your band's music. And two, make sure that the deals that come your way after that are going to be suitable for the bands. So you need, a good negotiating head on you as well.
What would you do on the night of a gig or a performance?
On the night of a gig or a performance, well, I would say I'd go back a couple of weeks before the actual night itself, and make sure you get as many people to the night as possible. Rather than relying on the promoter itself, because I've seen an awful lot of nights where bands do just turn up expecting there to be a crowd, and if they've not done their bit, then they could very well end up just playing to no one but the sound engineer. So I would say a manager's role in that case would be to let the fan base know about the gigs, try and let as many people in the area where the gig's being held know about the nights so that they can come along. When the night does happen, make sure the band arrives on time, because that's always extremely important. And so the sound checks go smoothly for them, and hopefully collect the money at the end of the night.
So talk me through the steps between managing your brother-in-law's band, who wasn't your brother-in-law at the time, and Juice Management and Promotion.
It was managing them that just first got me involved in the music industry, and pretty much where I learned everything, you could say. I started getting them gigs in at really good venues in and around London and actually various other parts of the UK, and also started getting them lots of radio play on various different radio stations around the world. And unfortunately, about 2 or 3 years down the line, they decided to call it a day. So it was simply a case then of whether I should pack it in with them or continue with what I built, with all the contacts that I've made. So I came up with the idea of from the company Juice Management and Promotion, and it just really started from there. And the whole aim of the company, it was to basically right the wrongs that were currently going on in the industry and probably still are now, such as promoters not really doing much to actually promote the nights, or actually showing no interest in the bands when they actually play on the nights themselves. What else? Replying back to emails, whether it's good news or bad news, and basically being someone to actually try and help bands out with what they with their music.
And so, how long ago did Juice Management and Promotion start?
It was launched in May 2007. It was a good 3 or 4 years in the making before then. Prior to it going live, I was putting on lots of different nights around the UK, and that was to help promote the name, so that when it did get launched, a lot of people had heard of the company in advance. So 2.5 years it's been live now, and it's pretty much progressing by the day.
Is there any special significance behind the name?
Juice is the name of a Kiss song, who, as I mentioned before, one of my favourite bands years ago.
Have you had a call from Kiss saying, hey, that's from our song?
No, I've not heard from them yet. It wouldn't surprise me if Gene Simmons does pick up the phone if Juice gets bigger, because I hear he's quite a wise businessman. He'll probably try and make as much money from me as possible.
And so in those 2.5 years that you've been live, sounds pretty similar to me in podcasting, actually. How have you grown in that time?
It's grown substantially. I mean, for example, the package that I offer bands originally, it started off with 5 radio stations on board and a small number of other companies that were willing to help out promote the bands further. At the moment, there's I'm pushing 100 radio stations that are on my dispatch list that all want to hear the new music that's coming out. I've got my own radio show as well, which is going out to 30 different radio stations, and then there's various different TV shows as well that have been hooking up with me, and they want to play the videos of bands and artists that are registered with Juice. And there's also just various other different offers that different companies have been offering me. So they're all designed to help promote the bands further.
So I'm presuming that you've lumped radio in with music podcasts, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, the show, the radio show itself is podcasted, but it's also syndicated to a number of radio stations around the world as well. So it's my way, really, of basically being able to guarantee that the bands and artists get exposure, as well as rather than relying on the radio presenters to like the music and also find the time in their schedule to include it in the shows.
Okay, I'll come back to the radio show because I want to talk to you about that in some detail. But let's say that you are, or one of my listeners is, either a music podcaster, a podcaster, or they're involved in a radio station somehow. What's the process for getting your music?
If they wanted to download the podcast or listen to it online, there's links to it on my website, which is www.juicemp.com. If there's radio stations that are interested in broadcasting the show, simply just drop me a line at robertjuicemp.com, and I'll reply back with information. And it's simply a case of if they like the show and they're happy to broadcast it, I'll be able to send it to them every week.
What about podcasters who want to play your music? How does that work?
if they want to play the music, it's not a problem at all. I mean, they simply just need to contact me to let me know who they are, and send me a link to their podcast shows. And what I can then do is add them to my dispatch list so that they receive bands and artists registered with Juice on a regular basis, usually 2 to 3 per week. So if they're happy receiving that many bands every week, then I'm more than happy to send them their way.
Do you remember how you found me, for instance?
I think it was on a podcast site. The name escapes me at the moment of the website, but I'm sure it was a dedicated podcast show site which I stumbled across, and had a listen to your shows, and I thought I'll drop you a line.
Awesome. And since then, you've supplied me with many, many artists, and indeed, if people go to my website channelerk.com or erkfm.com, you'll see that I've played over 300 artists that I can find websites for this calendar year.
That's great. I really appreciate your support, and it's always good hearing from you when you're telling me that you're featuring the Juice artists. And I always encourage the bands and artists that you're featuring just to let their fan base know. So it encourages more people to tune into your show and hopefully become regular listeners too.
So let's talk a bit about that process. Now, you said a bit earlier that you'll send me 2 or 3 emails a week and you'll say, you know, this is what I've got for you this week. How do you select those artists to send me each week?
Basically, the bands and artists, they send me an email just saying, would you like to listen to my music? Usually just a link, a MySpace link sufficient. And I'll listen to their music. I listen to everything that's sent my way. And if I think, yeah, that's the sort of music that I can work with, then I'll offer them the Juice package, which we talked about previously. Sometimes, if the recordings aren't quite up to scratch, then I'll let them know about getting the tracks mastered or remastered sometimes, and I can get them arranged at very low budget rates. And also, if it's beyond the mastering stage, I can also record studios across the UK and America. I've not got any in Australia at the moment. And basically, I've sorted out some deals with a number of these studios where they'll offer discount rates for Juice bands and artists. So I don't turn down any kind of music, but it's just got to be good.
One of the things that I really enjoy about receiving the music from you is that you've already done the quality assurance by the process that you've just spoken about. So I don't necessarily have to listen to the music to see if it's good enough quality, because you've already done it.
That's really good to hear. I mean, and that's really what I'm aiming for with my company, because I would like it to. It's still relatively new, but I want it to be associated with quality music, so that when people see the Juice logo, they'll know that it is going to be good music that they're going to hear. It may not always be the sort of style that they like, but it will be good nevertheless. So it's very nice to hear you say that.
And how have you found podcasters as a group to get on with them, and are they interested in what you have to pay for them?
They all seem interested. There's a number of different podcasters that are on my dispatch list, and they regularly contact me just to let me know that they're going to be featuring the bands that I'm sending their way. So it's, all in all, it's been a very, very positive response from them. And I know that they obviously like to get more and more people hearing their shows, and with what I'm doing, it's just a good way of doing it, because if the bands do their bit and let their fan base know that they're being featured on a particular podcast show like yourselves, then it will hopefully attract more listeners your way as well.
I do have to say that I do enjoy it when a band sends me an email and says that, you know, Rob said that you were going to play the song, you know, thanks very much, and I'll be sure to tell people that it's going to happen. That's very good. It's probably in the minority, I do have to say. not even a quarter, I don't think. But it, but those quarter that I do get, it's good to hear.
It's, yes, I mean, it is a shame, really. I mean, ideally, you should get, every band really should drop you a line just to show their appreciation. And it's one of the reasons, really, with the package that I do, it's for the long term, it helps me find out a little bit more about the bands. So at the time when I send the music out to yourself and the other radio stations, for the majority of these bands, all that I know about them is what I read or hear about them on their websites. So when I send the music out to the radio stations, it does give you a good idea how professional and how committed they're going to be, because I do always encourage the bands to drop the radio presenters a line to thank them for playing them on the show. If they don't do that, and if then they could very well be proven to be the type of band and artist that's going to expect 100 odd people to their next show just on the back of a little bit of radio play, which is very unlikely to happen. And at the end of the day, they're not the sort of bands that I want to work with long term. So that's the whole idea about the package. You do get a good idea of which ones are really committed to the course and really want to make it, and which ones and those ones rather that's made a good demo album, but seem to think that that's all the work done for them.
Do many bands that you represent, do you think that they really get podcasting, or are they just all for the radio?
I think a lot of them do. I mean, especially if you can just tell people how many listeners that you've got, then they'll certainly see the positives from it all. My view on it all is I don't really care if podcast shows or even radio shows get one listener or 1,000 listeners. If it picks up one more fan, then that's invaluable.
And that's the thing. For instance, I'm playing a show this particular week. Just because it's recorded and released this week doesn't necessarily mean that people will only hear it this week. Some people will go back to my show one and they'll listen to things on show one, even though show one was recorded in January in 2009. So people could be hearing our conversation 2-3 years down the track.
That's the good thing about it, and hopefully things have progressed a lot further for both of us if they are listening to it in their 2-3 years' time. But that's a good thing about the podcast shows. People can get introduced to the show, say if one of their favourite bands are being played on your show, and then they may find that they really enjoyed listening to your show and start discovering all previous ones. And with the likes of iPods and everything else now, they're able to listen to it all in their own time.
Absolutely. For me, for instance, I don't listen to commercial radio anymore. I have about 90... No, I've got about 70 podcasts at the moment that I listen to. Some of them come out weekly, some of them more frequently, some of them less frequently. But with this and all of the podcast work that I do, I don't have any interest or any time to listen to commercial radio. And a lot of the music that I'm listening should really be on quote-unquote commercial radio.
I share your views. Here in the UK, the commercial radio stations play absolute drivel 99% of the time. And then I listen to my own show, your show, and then all of the bands that come through to me, the bands and artists. And it's just criminal, basically, that these bands and artists aren't actually being exposed to millions of people worldwide. And that's really the main long-term aim of what I'm trying to do, is to show to the general public that there is more to life than X Factor and whatever game show host you may, talent show hosts rather that you may have in Australia and various different countries too.
At the moment here in Australia, we've just finished our latest season of Australian Idol, and it's been interesting over the last few years because the person who has won Australian Idol, they've done well. But it's usually the person who has finished second that ends up doing better than the person who wins the thing, which is quite interesting.
That's happened here on a couple of occasions too, although I know the previous winners from the past 2 years, they have gone on to big things. So Yeah, in some respects, you can't really knock it because they are doing really well for themselves. But then the other part of it is you have to listen to absolute rubbish to find that to find that gem.
Absolutely. Now, let's switch it from podcasting and radio. Let's assume for the moment that I'm a band or one of my listeners has a band out there. What's the process? How do we go through and get represented by you?
Basically, first of all, send me an email with a link to your music. I'll listen to it and I assess A, the quality of the music, and then B, quality of the recording, and then C, the style of the music. And if that ticks all of the boxes, then I'll offer them the juice package, which, as I say, includes the radio plug-in to pushing 100 radio stations, and then it also gives them inclusion on the juice radio show as well, and lots of other things now that's all been included. There's that many on there now that I keep on forgetting what's actually available. And basically, the package costs £49.95, and it's an ongoing package. So you're not paying monthly or anything like that. It's the attitude that I'm taking with this is that as my company is relatively new, I want the bands and artists to grow alongside you, so that the more opportunities that come my way can then be passed over to the bands and artists.
How do you usually find the bands that you end up working with?
Well, most of them do seem to hear about Juice. I would say a lot of it must be through MySpace, because there's quite a few. There are quite a few that have added me in their top friends, so that must make quite a difference. There's been a few advertisements that I've put in music publications, but also I've got a huge mailing list of bands and various other music industry people like studios, photographers and venues, and I try to get news out every week about what's happening with Juice, so there's a very good chance that some of these people will be forwarding on me as to bands that they know, and then they contact me as a result of it.
So do you have anything to do with, for instance, their websites, their MySpace, their publicity, promotional material, anything like that?
Not on a personal level, no, but when I send out the music to the radio stations, I always make sure there's links included to their MySpace sites and their own official website, if they've got one, so that the radio stations can maybe contact them as well, just to let them know that they're going to be playing the music.
Now, here's a question for you, and this has been a bit of a bugbear, not necessarily with the artists that you send me, but artists that I find elsewhere. Should someone have a MySpace site only, or should they have a MySpace site and also a non-MySpace site?
I think they should definitely have an official website as well. It certainly makes it look more professional from a band's point of view, and also from a music industry point of view. MySpace has proved to be really useful for a lot of bands, but at the end of the day, it only takes 30 minutes to set up, whereas and every band have got one, whether they're good or bad. But I think it does separate you a little bit from the rest if you've got your own official website, which is regularly updated. So I would definitely recommend to bands set up your own website too, and don't just rely on MySpace, because although it's going strong at the moment, we just don't know how long that's going to last.
How heavily are you and the bands involved in social media, things like MySpace and Facebook and Twitter and all those sort of things?
For me, it has been MySpace really that I've been using. There has been a number of other new social network sites that I've been collaborating with, but it's still MySpace that's ahead of the pack still. I always use that as a way of just adding bands as friends, just to show that I have listened to music, and I also use it to advertise what I'm doing. I send out events very frequently, which I use more as advertising than anything else, and so that way that I know that it's gone out to about 12,000 plus MySpace friends. So it's it's definitely a good way of getting people to hear about what you're doing. And I know that if it's done properly, for bands and artists, if they use it properly, they can pick up quite a few fans still from MySpace.
And what about things like Facebook or Twitter? You haven't got into those at all?
I've still not got into Twitter yet. I have been meaning to, but at the moment there just seems to be so many sites that I've got set up that it's a struggle to keep them all updated. But I do keep on meaning to get onto Twitter and see what difference it makes. Facebook, I've still not. I've just got my own personal one for Facebook. I've not actually started using it yet from a company point of view, so maybe that's something that I'll give a try shortly.
So let's move from that. How's the live scene over there? How's that looking?
The live scene it's basically where the money's to be made, I would say, for bands and artists at the moment, providing they've got a following. It's still always a struggle at the unsigned level for bands and artists to attract a crowd, because it's just hard work getting people to part with their money to see bands and artists that they may never have heard of before. But certainly for the established bands, it's probably at its peak at the moment. So everyone wants to go and see them. And as I said before, it's certainly where the money is at the moment for the bands.
Have you found a reduction in the number of places that will allow live fans?
Especially in London, there's certainly been quite a few venues closing down. I mean, that's as well as pubs and everything. So it is a problem because at the end of the day, this is where it all begins, the small venues that are going to take on unsigned bands. So I'm certainly seeing quite a few shutting down in the London area at the moment.
I know we're having a similar problem here in Sydney in relation to areas where pubs were in industrial areas or in the city areas, and then a different type of people are moving in, and all of a sudden a pub that's been there 50 years is all of a sudden having noise complaints about them and being shut down and that sort of thing.
Yes, I mean, I've come across a few problems like that. In fact, there was one venue in London where I was going to actually put nights on, and a couple of weeks before the night was due to start, I got a call from the venue saying that they can't play live music anymore because they've had complaints from neighbours about the sound level, which isn't really surprising. But the worst thing about it was this: the main person who made the complaint was a chief exec of a very well known major music label. So it doesn't bode very well for the future if the people that are making money from bands are complaining about loud music.
So you've put on performances, nights yourself?
Yes, I've put on a lot of nights. I've put on nights up and down the UK, and I also did a weekly night in London up to a couple of years ago. I've got the nights temporarily on hold for the time being because I want to concentrate on the Juice name. Long term, what I want to do is be able to put on nights and be able to attract a crowd to come along, because they know that Juice is associated with good music, so people will be coming along to see the bands and artists, whether they've heard of them or not, knowing that they're going to be good anyway.
Awesome. So let's talk about the Juice radio show. When did that start?
That started February this year, 2009.
And so you and I started pretty much at the same time. What gave you the idea to do that? Is that just part of the plan?
It was something that's been in the back of my mind for a while, but I personally just wouldn't have the time to do the show myself. And so it was suggested by a small college radio station saying that I should start my own show. And I contacted radio presenter who we go back about four or five years now, and he's called Jordan Thomas, and he agreed to do the show on a fortnightly basis. He's since moved on to greater things, and I introduced Joe Ferrick to it, and he's since gone weekly with it. And so it's gone from strength to strength from there. It started off with five radio stations that were broadcasting the show, and now it's attracting over 30 radio stations all around the world that are playing it, not to mention it being podcasted too.
I'm always very interested in the tech side of things when it comes to shows like that. How is the show produced?
I leave it all to the radio presenter, Joe Ferrett. He's the best person to speak to about that. But he records them for me, sends it over. I'll give it a listen and we're all happy with it. And after that, send it out to the radio stations, basically just in MP3 format. So as I say, Joe's the techie when it comes to putting the show together, so you may need to drop in the line and find out more.
So what's the usual duration? How long does a normal show go for? Is it a tight hour?
It's 1 hour. It's a 1 hour show, and basically Joe normally records them, records two in a week, so that I can then send them out to the radio stations every fortnight. And then after that, it's a case of just seeing keeping an eye on the ratings.
And what sort of radio stations are playing them? Some of our listeners might be a bit unfamiliar with the UK radio scene. Are they local stations? Are they national stations?
They're not national stations. They vary from internet stations up to FM level. Some of them being universities, some of them actually being local FM radio stations that are broadcast around a particular area of the UK. But there's other ones all around the world. I've got one in Spain that covers quite a large area of Spain. I think they attract approximately 20,000 listeners. And then where else have we got? I've got them in America, Canada. I don't think I've got one in Australia at the moment. I'm working on that. So it's really a case of any radio stations or podcasters that are interested in the show. It's a case really of just letting them know if they're interested in broadcasting it.
Is there any cost involved to the radio station themselves, or you just email the MP3 and that's it?
There's no costs involved at all.
Because I know with some community stations here in Australia, they do receive programs on syndication, and there might be syndication fees and all that sort of stuff. But considering that it's all internet-based, that's a lot easier from what you're describing.
Yeah, and the fact that it's all in signed music as well, it helps on the royalties basis as well. But for me at the moment, the whole idea with Juice is just to get the name out there. And I don't really want to get any fees involved or anything like that. The most important thing is to get the music out there so people get to hear the quality of it. And as I say, after that, it should lead on to more and more different opportunities. But I certainly don't want to be seen as making money from radio stations or charging for the show. It's not really the direction that I want to take my company.
So you were talking about royalties. What's the general situation in the music industry in the UK in relation to royalties at the moment?
It really just depends on whether the bands and artists are registered with the different ways to take royalties. What I've had to do with Juice is I've put a clause in the terms and conditions just to say that radio stations may not pay royalties. And that's really to protect shows like yourself and various others that are supporting new music. And my own view on it is that it's only really when these bands and artists start getting played frequently throughout the day on national radio and local radio stations that the royalties actually becomes could potentially be lucrative for them. But getting the odd bit of spot play here and there on different radio stations, it's not really going. The exposure that they're getting is going to be worth more than the actual royalties itself.
So let's now move across to the artist that you have under your umbrella. It's time to do some name dropping, Rob.
Well, there's a number of artists that I'm working with at the moment. Phoenix Williams is the main artist that I'm actually managing. We've got a management contract sorted out between us on that front, but there's also a large number of other bands that I'm heavily promoting through Juice. I'll list off a few that spring to mind. There's a really good band from London called Fuse. There's a band in America called Atris, another band from London that I've been working very closely with called Dialogue. The list goes on. There's that many quality acts, and they're all different styles. So the idea is that if anyone comes to me looking for a particular band or a particular style of music, there's a very good chance that I'll be able to help them out.
And who's been your longest serving client, so to speak?
I would say it would have to be Phoenix Williams and Dialogue, actually. They're the ones that I've been doing the most promotion for, but there's so many now that I'm in regular contact with, and they're the ones long term that I want to work with on a closer basis as Juice develops.
And so how do you see people like Phoenix going in the industry? Is it your aim for her to go mainstream?
That's the main aim. And with Phoenix's music, it is very marketable. So I think if anyone's going to make it, then Phoenix stands a great chance of doing it. And the idea is that the way that I'm planning it is that she's certainly mainstream music. And if after that we start to benefit financially for it, then I can then concentrate on other styles of music that may not be quite as mainstream, but there's certainly a market for it. For example, blues music, heavy metal music, even. But for now, I think it's a case of getting firmly established with a marketable act, and Phoenix Williams is certainly that.
I'm sure my friend Kimmy from Kimmy in the Metal Deli really wants me to ask this question. Have you got many metal artists?
There's quite a few metal artists. In fact, Kimmy's actually on my dispatch list. She regularly receives the music coming my way, so I thought she might know the answer to that question. There's certainly a lot of metal bands that have been coming through. I'm just trying to think of some names at the moment. So there's a new one that's going to be coming out shortly called Jack. There's Metonia. Who else? The list. There's just so many. Jackson Cage. They're a good metal band. There's certainly a fair few that are coming through. And providing that it's good metal, then I'm more than happy to promote them.
Does metal have a stigma still attached to it, or is it becoming more accepted as well in the industry?
I think it's still got a bit of a stigma attached to it. Me personally, being into that sort of music years ago, I know that people would always look at me a bit strangely if I told them what bands I liked. And I don't really think it's changed too much at the moment, which isn't such a bad thing, really, because I think a lot of people secretly like that sort of music. They just don't openly like to admit it. It amazes me why they don't want to admit it, because technically a lot of their music is the best that's out there, but for some reason it's something people might be ashamed to admit. But I don't care what people think. I love that sort of music.
I know we've had this discussion before in the Channel Erk studio. Hi mum. She does a music podcast as well called Judy's Blast FM that comes out on Sundays, and we've had this discussion in relation to music genres, and there seems to be so many different types of music and music genres that people are putting on sites such as yours. How do you classify your artists? Do you rely on the artist to classify them, or do you classify them?
I suppose really it's the artist that I rely on for a description of their style of music. I wouldn't really want to make something up for them because it could prove to lead to some artistic differences further down the line. So normally I take a look at their websites. The MySpace sites usually give a good description of what style of music they believe it is. But it's always actually good when you hear of bands that make their own particular style up as well. There's one band that I've been working with, the Humble Hobos, who describe their music as whiskey-fueled country rock, and there's another band called Beechwood that call themselves frock rock. So it makes things a little bit more interesting if bands make their own special style up, and it helps them stand out from the rest that a little bit more as well.
It can make it very interesting when it comes down to some shows, because what I do, and we haven't really had this discussion, sometimes I'll do a set genre per show, and then on other occasions, whatever you throw at me, and I'll make a mix of a show according to what you throw at me or what I find. And so, which do you personally prefer? Do you prefer a show that's all of the one genre, or do you prefer a mix?
For my own show personally, I like to keep it as a mix. The fact of the matter is that it's because it's going out to so many different radio stations, and it's going to have different listeners that like all sorts of music. I wouldn't want it to be people to be turning off the show because I'm making it a metal show and it's not going to appeal to 70% of the listeners, for example. So I like to keep it as a variety. I've done a few things similar to yourself, like female solo artists, and basically female bands with female singers, but that's covered all styles of music. So I'll maybe keep it on a broad style like that, but I wouldn't actually just single a show down to one particular style.
Back to radio for a second. Do radio stations still classify themselves by genres over there, like you might have a rock station or a metal station or whatever, or do they diversify?
There's quite a few. Most of them, I would say, are probably online, the ones that purely just concentrate on a particular style of music. But well, in saying that, though, there are quite a few digital stations now that that are emerging and that play one particular style of music. Certainly, though, just the local and national radio stations, they will cover all styles. But I'm finding quite a few over the internet that are concentrating on their own particular style.
And so if you're involved with a station, let's just say for hypothetical, they are a metal station, you'll only send them metal, is that right?
That's right, yes. It'd be pointless me sending them some soft acoustic music or some dance music if I know that they're only interested in metal, and they'll soon get fed up with me at the end of the day and probably just ask to be removed from a mailing list.
And we mentioned female performers before. How are we looking on the female stakes?
There's quite a few female artists that I'm working with. As mentioned, there was Phoenix Williams, but there's also a really good R&B singer called Leah Devon, who's out in America, and she also actually does her own TV show, funnily enough. I'm being featured on this week. So, but I will check her music out. And who else have we got? There's another artist called Lucy Khan. And she's kind of like a pop rock artist, I would describe her as, but very catchy music. Another American artist called Laura Cheadle, and she's more in the soul and funk genre. And who else? I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, so apologies if I do miss out any female artists that are listening in. There's another band as well, an indie rock band called Loungefly, who are female-led, and they're quality sounding. So there's absolutely lots of great music that's coming through to me, and I always just think that it has a different edge to it, actually, if it has a female voice for some reason. It does make you take a bit more respect for some reason.
Is it harder or easier, do you think, being female in the music industry?
I think probably need to ask a female that. But I couldn't really give a straight answer to it. I suppose there is a sexist element to it in the industry, where I often find that a lot of music industry people aren't interested if a female vocalist is over the age of 30. So in that respect, there's a problem. But my view on it all is let the music do the talking, and if the general public like the music, then they're not going to be dissuaded from buying their music if they find out that she's pushing 40. There probably is more problems from a female point of view than there is from a male point of view, but it's something that we have to live with, really, and the time will change that.
So where do you see yourself going with the company?
Well, ultimately, I want to get an American number one. That's the main aim for Juice. But that's obviously not going to happen overnight, so it's a case of one step at a time. But what I want to be able to do is have a hit artist on board, which will then hopefully create a chain. I want to be able to organise UK tours. So we could say, for example, if Phoenix Williams breaks through, I could then arrange for other Juice acts to support her at various parts of the country. And then that introduces more people to their music as well. I'm working basically on building my own little empire. I'm not taking any notice on what's on the national radio. I'm just relying on the public to recognise great music and come to Juice to hear it, and just let it grow from there.
Now, you've started in the UK, but you're now spreading your wings and going global. How have you found that?
It's been a great experience. As I say, I started off originally from the UK, just doing the package for bands in the UK. But I just thought after a while that what I'm offering can be done for bands all over the world. So it's absolutely great just hearing from people like yourself, for example, over the other side of the world, and being able to talk to you about what's happening at Juice. And I'm also hearing from bands from various areas of the world. We've got America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. I even had a band recently from Egypt that have taken up the package, which I'll be sending out shortly. So it's just great. Finding all these different people that are hearing about Juice and working alongside them.
What I'm doing at the moment is I'm in the middle of the 2009 IRC FM Musical United Nations Tour. And what I'm doing at the moment, because when I started it, you weren't as global as what you are now. And so I'm picking a different provider just to give people a range of, you know, what sort of music you can expect to hear in South America and South Africa and all of these other countries. So who knows, sometime next year, you might have a wider range of artists. And on one of the Juice shows, I'm just trying to find the show notes for it, you did have a song from every country that you've got someone in.
That's right. We've done a couple, actually, because there's been that many different countries now that are beginning to hear about the Juice, and the bands are coming to me. So the last one that we did, we had to actually a lot of bands that we put on the original list and leave them for a future show, because we quite simply wouldn't have been able to squeeze them all in for an hour. So it's certainly growing. There's a large number of different bands from different countries getting on board with what I'm doing.
So I'm just trying to find the particular show. Do you remember the name of the Australian band off the top of your head?
There's a couple of Australian bands. There's a singer called Ben McMaster. There's a rock band called Power Ridge. Is that who you're thinking of?
Sounds familiar.
They're a rock band in the very similar to AC/DC, that type of style. And they're only, if it's the band that that you're thinking of, they're very young. They're only about 16, 17, and they seem to be gaining huge strides actually in the music world. And they've got some really good tracks going.
It's interesting you say that, because the funny thing about it is that previously, I know a couple of other music podcasters in the UK, and I'd listen to their shows because I listen to a variety of music podcasts as well and get different ideas and that sort of thing. And I'll hear an Australian artist and then I'll go and find them. So I'm just trying to find the show that I heard it on the Juice Radio show so I can think of actually who it was. Oh, here it is. Show number 26, the World Tour Special. Unfortunately, on the show notes, it doesn't have the country where these people are from. But, yeah, Ben McMaster was the guy that I was thinking of.
Yeah, he's very good. If he's listening, then ask him to get in contact with me, because he seemed to have disappeared off the face of the earth. I've been sending Ben a few emails, and I've not heard from him for a bit. So hopefully he's still going strong down there.
And that's the very interesting thing about it, that I'm getting a lot of my Australian music from people in the UK. We seem to be more global these days, and so it's a lot easier to share and produce music than what it was, for instance, back when you were starting to listen to music.
That's right. I mean, it's all just down to the internet, really, isn't it? And the way that we can just send the music over, it's certainly great in that respect, whereas before it would be a case of just reading magazines or the odd TV show where you'd get to hear about bands from abroad. Now you just need to go online and they're all at your disposal, basically.
Absolutely right. Now, I was having a look at some of my previous shows. One of the things that I really enjoy, and this is one thing that you really emphasise, is some of the background behind the bands and how they form. Some of them have got really interesting stories, but for other bands, it can be really hard to find their bios, especially if you're trying to read it and produce it live, like I basically try to.
It's something that I always find important. When bands sign up with Juice, I always ask them to reply back to me with any interesting stories that they may have, because it just makes it a lot more entertaining for the radio presenters or the podcast shows just to talk about, rather than just being able to say this is so and so band and you can hear more of their music at the MySpace site. I always just think it makes them more interesting if there's a good story to tell about them first, and people are more likely to give them more of a proper listen, I think, if there's a bit of background information around them. So I always just like to give brief info on the back. When I send my music out to the radio stations, and then it's up to the listeners then to go onto their websites if they want to find out more details about them.
Exactly. So let's go on to some of the workloads. How many of the bands that you represent do you think are doing it full time and they're not actually working?
I know that Phoenix Williams is doing this full time. She's just working day in, day out, just to get more and more people to hear her music. As for the rest, as they're unsigned, I would say that the vast majority of them are mixing it all with a daytime job, and probably using that as motivation to get their band properly established.
Because I know certainly for me, I do a full-time job and I also do these podcasts, and so that's basically a second full-time job. What about yourself? You're just full-time?
This is full, this is full time now for me with Juice. When I first launched it, I was mixing it with a full time job, but it got to the point where something had to give, and it was simply a case of, well, shall I pack in all the work that I've done on getting Juice together, or shall I just pack in my full time job and take a chance and go for it? So I've just touched on it before. I used the full time job as a motivation to get Juice off the ground, because I did find it extremely boring, and really that's what I'd recommend to anyone else. get yourself a boring job and use that as motivation to get something that you could say is a hobby turned into a full time occupation.
I'm basically the opposite. I do have an interesting full time job and it pays well, but I still find myself thinking, you know, I could be doing this with the podcast. You know, I've got to talk to Rob after work. You know, all these sort of things. I've got these shows coming out this week. So, mate, I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Great. It makes life more interesting. I mean, with yourself, as you say, you've got a job that you enjoy, but a lot of people will then go home after their full-time job, after dinner, sit in front of the TV, and then go to bed. Whereas if you've got something like this going on, you just don't really know what's around the corner. You don't know what great bands you're going to be hearing next, or even what kind of offers could potentially come your way. The way that I'm treating Juice is like one big adventure. You just don't know what's around the corner.
So I hope that you've enjoyed this interview, Rob, and I hope that my listeners have. I do want to have more interviews in 2010, and I know that I'll hit you up for a list at some point. So listeners, let me know what you've thought of this interview. Do you want to hear more from the artists themselves rather than just what I read off their internet site or off their MySpace site? But I definitely enjoy interviews, and I definitely enjoy hearing and having these sort of chats.
It's been a pleasure talking to you too, Eric, and thank you for inviting me on your show. I'm looking forward to listening to this show and plenty more of your shows in the future.
So how can we get in contact with you if we need to get more information? For instance, you might be a music podcaster, you might be a band, or who knows, you might even be a radio station. I don't know half the people that listen in. How can we get in contact with you for more information?
You can visit my website, which is www.juicemp.com, or you can just email me directly, and that's rob@juicemp.com. There's also a MySpace site, myspace.com/juicesounds. So all my contact information is on there if anyone wants to get in touch.
Awesome, Rob. Now, this is really weird because I've done a handful of music interviews and most of my music shows contain music. So feel free to pick a song and I'll play it.
Let's go for Phoenix Williams' Everything's Good.
And Everything Is Good. Do you know the basic story behind that one?
I think Phoenix is probably the best person to ask about that. It's a love song, but it's going down extremely well with radio stations all over the world. So hopefully it will lead on to good things.
To do with my heart and you. If I were to sing you the words, I would sing soft in your ear. Any excuse to be love.
try to describe where this feeling's taking me.
Back to IRC FM, and with me is Rob Saunders from Juice Management and Promotion. Needless to say, Rob, you've heard that song a few times before.
Just a few. I'm looking forward to getting the new material out there so I can listen to something new.
A few weeks ago, I'm not sure if you heard, but I had an earworm special of songs that were in my head. That I'd heard over and over and over again. So who knows, that song for you might be one of them.
Let's hope so.
So looking forward to 2010, I know that I've started planning into 2010. What about you?
2010, I'm aiming for big things there for 2010. There's an awful lot of bands that have signed up to the package recently, so we've certainly got some quality bands that are going to be hitting the airwaves next year, and we've also got plans hopefully to find more and more radio stations to broadcast the radio show, and who knows after that, really, what's going to come along. As I mentioned before, it's all one big adventure, and you just never know what the next day is going to bring. So I'm hoping that 2010 will be the year anyway.
Do you have an assistant?
Or is it's pretty much just me on my own, other than Joe Ferret, the radio presenter. It's just myself that runs the company. So I'm just having to just cover every field, the promotion, the management, even the accounts, which I never thought I'd find myself doing. So it's hard work, but as long as I can see it progressing by the day, I'm happy.
Is there anything with the benefit of hindsight that's really been good?
Sorry, that's...
Is there anything that, with the benefit of hindsight and what you've learnt since you've been doing it, is there anything that was good that really stands out as being a highlight?
The main highlight at the moment is the radio show. The fact that we're getting so many radio stations on board playing it, it's just fantastic. Just seeing it all growing. The decision of going global rather than just sticking with the UK, that's brought a fantastic response too. It's really just a case of just watching it all grow by the day and see what other offers are going to be coming my way afterwards.
Awesome. And final question, what title did you give yourself?
Well, I suppose the official title is Managing Director. That sounds a little bit corporate for me. So I'm quite happy with people just calling me Rob from Juice.
Yeah, that sounds rather cool. I'm thinking back to a Simpsons episode where Homer ran an internet business and then he decided to call himself the Junior Vice President.
That's the American version, isn't it? But no, I'm not really very corporate minded, so I think it sounds a little bit pompous giving yourself those sort of titles, so I prefer to be a bit more down to earth with people.
Awesome. Well, I've enjoyed the interview. Hopefully the listeners have as well. Of course, if you would like to contact me, all the contact information is on the show notes at irkfm.com. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks a lot, Irk. It's been a pleasure being on your show.
No worries. And we'll keep the UK theme happening on Friday because IrkFM episode 48 will be released down the pipe and into your ears at the end of the week. And it's the 2009 IrkFM Musical United Nations Tour from the UK. And hopefully this time next year, Rob, or a bit earlier, I will do a special show on a similar theme just for Juice artists around the world. Let's see how we go in about 12 months' time.
That'll be fantastic. You'll have plenty of material to choose from, put it that way.
Awesome. So until next time on IRC FM on Friday at the usual time, from me here in Sydney and from Rob in the UK, it's goodnight interweb.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com. Looking for more IRC? Go to channelirc.com.
This show is protected by a non-commercial, attribution, no derivatives, Creative Commons license to protect the interests of the artists.